Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away.
To see the Patriots win the Super Bowl, just to see like that again. I need Charlie Baker to do this again, like even better. This needs to become his thing.
Right.
Got to vote for him next week, Matt.
He's gonna win. That's what I would say. Need him. Need him back.
Shut up, Lyle.
Need him on a float. Need him on a duck boat. Mm. Need him.
Embrace it.
Tom wants to know if we're endorsing him as a show then.
Yes, absolutely. Charlie Baker is our choice for governor. 100%.
Speak for yourself. I'm not doing any political endorsements.
You don't like Baker?
I'm not doing any political endorsements
guy.
Here.
You're a Baker guy.
I'm not pissing anybody off for no good reason.
We're not stating to vote for a certain party. I'm a Charlie Baker guy.
You want to give us your votes on the three questions, too? You want to issue your official endorsement?
I'd actually like some
help. No, our endorsement goes to Chucky Bakes.
Yeah, we fully endorse Chucky Bakes.
I would like some help.
The guy we saw.
I would like some help from nurses on that one question. I would. Put it out there.
It's not an easy one. That's a very difficult question. Phil Perry from NBC Sports Boston.
Hi, Phil.
Hello.
With us. Phil Perry is brought to you by Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your Sunday night football party a huge success. Huge. Huge. Get details at stopandshop.com. Phil, how we doing?
Fantastic, boys. Big game Sunday night.
Were you in Foxborough this morning?
I actually was not.
You going there today?
I was not. I'll be going
this
down there later
Friday
this
schedule.
Afternoon.
You go here and then you go.
Well,
there.
Sometimes Friday is I'm down there early, then back here, then down there again, then up to. It's Friday can be a little bit weird, but I took the morning off from Gillette today.
So Brady speaks later today, right?
He does. 1:45.
Okay, 1:45 is Tom Brady. What are your thoughts? Tell me, what's your big thought about this game?
Well, obviously, you guys have been talking Brady Rogers all week. I'm sure. Right?
Well, it's been tough with the Red Sox.
A little bit.
We can get into that if you want. It's at the point in the week where I've started kind of delving into some of the other matchups. So, Gilmore on Devontae Adams. I think that's an interesting matchup. I think Mike Pettine versus Brady is kind of interesting just because we've seen it so often before.
And Pettine's been there when they muddied the field up.
And so will they try to do some of those things that Pettine did with Buffalo, with the Jets before that? This weekend, because the Packers love to blitz, especially the last month. They're up at 45% blitz in the quarterback.
Wow, bring it.
Brady's rating against the blitz this year is 116. So do you try to do that if you're Pettine, because it's kind of what you do right now, or do you change things up? I think all that's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think of...
So we can go wherever you want to go with this, is what I'm saying.
I'd like to leave it open-ended for you. I'd like to leave it up to you, Phil. But
what are you hearing on a tight end, Phil?
When you say you've spent a lot of time and you're sort of over the Brady Rogers aspect of it, why is that? I mean,
I'm not over it. I think it's going to be tremendously fun to watch. I mean, that's stating the obvious. But I just figured you guys had done the which quarterback is better, taking calls, having people.
We haven't really done a ton of it.
No,
We started it today. Is someone saying that Rodgers is better than Brady still? Because I think the last couple of years, Rodgers has not been at his best.
He's been hurt too.
Year, yeah.
Which I think speaks to sort of the differences in style. I think Rodgers' style has invited some of those injuries when you're scrambling around. It's sort of the same conversation we've had with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Could be really good if he stays on the field, but part of what makes him really good is he's really athletic and he wants to get outside the pocket and he exposes himself a little bit.
Let me ask you this question regarding Rodgers. We know Brady studies and that's all it's about, right? Like it's just over, he totally immerses himself in the opponent to every phase of it. Do you think Rodgers studies the way Brady studies? I think Rodgers is more of a, I don't want to say organic quarterback, where he waits till Sunday and adapts as to what they give you and kind of peeks at things and sees the game differently on game day, to where maybe the mental prep doesn't have to be there because of the style of their offense?
I don't know, Zoe. I mean, he can get the ball out so quickly that I would assume if it's not at Brady's level, it's pretty damn diligent, because he is as effective in the pocket as anybody else. I think we talk a lot about his ability to extend plays, and I wrote a long story about it today for NBCSportsBoston.com. You still do have to account for that, even though he's dealing with a knee injury, even though he's getting up there in age. He's going to be 35 later this year. You still have to account for the extended plays, both on the front and the back end. But I think he is just about as good as anybody, maybe right there below Brady, in terms of diagnosing and understanding what he's looking at. I think that has been a narrative that I've heard a little bit around here in the last few days, is, well, Brady's got the mental side and Rodgers is the athlete. No. Rodgers is really damn good mentally, too. He might not be at Brady's level. I don't know if anybody's been at Brady's level in terms of understanding what he's seeing. But Rodgers is right there among the game's best.
Do you think that this game is maybe the last big, like, game of the year type of thing that we've got? I think from an entertainment aspect, in that angle, yes. But in terms of importance to the Patriots this season, I don't know that this one's at the top of the list.
I don't know. I see.
Well, I mean, it's like, not. It's an NFC game. It's not. It's
that's how I feel.
As far as that goes, it's really not important.
I'm going to say the Pittsburgh game will be more important than this game.
Definitely.
Pittsburgh has bigger implications because of the AFC dealings there.
Definitely.
So I think you got two games left on your schedule.
You talk about entertainment value. You talk about a challenge to kind of see where you are for the rest of the season. You're smack dab in the middle of the season right now. It's sort of similar to the Packers game in 2014
They came away
from that game understanding how good they could be, and they end up going on the run they went.
That's why I think this can't rival the Manning-Brady matchups on that point alone. Take everything else out of it, how many Super Bowls Aaron Rodgers has won, you know, how great each quarterback is. These can't be as meaningful as those games just based on the fact that they don't even play in the same conference.
Totally agreed. But I think the attention we pay to it is still well-deserved, because this is rare. It's once every 4 years, unless you're seeing each other in the Super Bowl, between two of the best quarterbacks of all time. I mean, that's where Rodgers is. I think we can talk about him in that way, whether he's top 12, top 10, top 8, like, what? I don't care. He's in that conversation. He's the highest-rated quarterback of all time. I remember stopping Brady in the locker room last year.
Over 100, 103 and change.
And he's well above number, you know who number two is?
Russell Wilson at 99 and change.
This guy. Just an encyclopedia. Mm. And Brady's right there, number three. So,
you know who's number five?
Ooh.
Tony Romo.
Oh, yes, you're right. Is he four or five? He's way up there.
I think he's five.
Manning's down seven or eight, somewhere in that range, I think.
You've got other good names in there. You got, like, Steve Young is in the top 10. Yeah.
Marino's further down than I would have expected. But it's just the way the game is now. It's a little bit easier to be a quarterback in this day and age. But I remember stopping and talking to Brady last year about some of the quarterbacks that he watches on film. You know, in season, it's mostly you're analyzing the defenses you're going to play and you're analyzing your own scheme and how you could be better. Off season, you might have a little bit more time to take a peek at what some other guys are doing. And he mentioned all the names you would expect. Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger in terms of how he executes their scheme and their offense, Russell Wilson and the mobility stuff. But I asked him about mechanics and if there's anybody he watches, because we know how picky he is about his own mechanics and how much time he spends. Remember that Tom versus Time portion of that one episode where he's with Tom House and they're talking about torque and front side rotation, and it's down to the millimeter with this guy. And when we talked about mechanics, he said far and away the best in the league now and probably the best in the history of the league is Aaron Rodgers.
Let's get back to some of your calls on this. Also, Rob Gronkowski's week. I want to hear the thoughts from Phil on that. 617-779-0985, and we will get to your calls next.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, why not?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is there a level of frustration, though, maybe? I mean, we're used to seeing you be targeted 8, 10, 12 times a game. I know you're winning, but kind of balance that with your own performance and productivity?
I mean, we're 6-2. We got just won 5 games in a row. We're just trying to get the W every week.
Where would you say, to kind of piggyback maybe on Mike's question a little bit, where would you say your confidence level is at right now?
It's good. Yeah.
Why?
Because we're winning. All right, guys. Thank you.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
I missed you, Frank.
Because a vision softly.
Listen, I said it before about this song.
I missed
this
you
album.
Too,
this
honey.
Thing could drive you to it kill yourself. Like, there should be a warning label on this.
And the vision.
Yeah.
This song? It's a protest song. It's a
No, I'm just saying them in general.
I want to know the meaning.
Simon and Garfunkel in general.
This makes you want to jump off a building.
Yeah.
Me and Julio down by the schoolyard?
That's an upbeat jam.
Is that the two of them together?
That's a Paul Simon. How about
it's Paul Simon?
Mrs. Robinson.
That's a good one.
Cuckoo, ca-choo. Where have you gone, Mrs. Robinson?
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Where have you gone, though?
Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? A nation
this
turned its
sad,
lonely
man.
Eyes to you.
This
actually, scratch that. That's very sad also.
Didn't you read the Paul Simon biography?
I did.
Garfunkel was a dink, right?
Garfunkel's a dink. Paul's a bit of a dink.
Well, yeah.
Quite frankly, they're both dinks.
But Garfunkel was trying to take all the credit for everything, right?
Not credit.
That was sort of his deal.
He was a pain in the balls, is what Art Garfunkel is.
Weirdo.
Was.
Musical freak.
Mm-hmm. Continues to be.
I'm an artist.
Continues to
play
be.
The damn song.
You want to walk to the shows or
worry
something?
Worry about meetings.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you just get to the show and do the show.
He wanted to hitchhike to one show. He wanted to go from New York up to Boston. He wanted to hitchhike.
Yeah, get on the freaking bus.
Little Jack Kerouac type of action was late.
Sure.
Weirdo.
Jackass.
Jackass. Phil Perry is with us from NBC Sports Boston. Phil, Rob Gronkowski had a weird week, man. Weird week. That was the saddest we've ever seen the man.
Were you there when he walked out of the press conference?
I asked the last question.
Was he perturbed?
You forced him to walk out.
I didn't force him to walk out. Here's the thing.
I think. Do we need to cue it up again?
Well,
to prove that
it happens to be the last question.
No, you happen to be the guy that said.
You didn't vote.
I've had enough of this. I don't want to do this anymore. Phil Perry, you make me
sad.
See,
that's not true. See, now you're misquoting the guy.
Kind of, maybe on Mike's question a little bit. Where would you say your confidence level is at right now?
It's good. Yeah.
Why?
Because we're winning. All right, guys. Thank you.
You asked him why. Had you not said why, he's still there. You asked him why? You asked him to
48 hours later, Beetle.
You expected him to.
That means he didn't like his answer.
To go deeper
and
have more personal reflection there.
Yeah, more than one word would be good.
Why?
That's generally what we're looking for.
And that forced him right off the podium.
He said, I'm leaving.
I'm not taking a look inside.
A couple of things to take you inside the press conference if you didn't watch it. I think sometimes some of the awkwardness at these things is on us. Zoe, you've been in there for plenty of these. If you're not rapid firing questions at people and they're standing there at a podium, there is inevitably a sense that you can feel coming from that guy of, what the hell am I doing
here? Well, especially the player, too, when you know the question's coming. Like, he knew that this is what's coming.
I think that's part of it, but I think it was pretty slow in there, and he's like, okay, we're just going to – let's just get to the stuff that you guys are going to ask me every week, which is how am I feeling?
Yep.
I also asked him, like, I forget what my wording was, but it was essentially, is everything okay? Because he was so down. He's so typically jovial up there with us.
And that's what I've heard.
And there's more laughter going back and forth. And he said, you know, I'm living. Something to that effect. And it was all one-word answers. And so, very different from the guy we're used to seeing up there. I look at that press conference, and I go back to the conversation I had with him a few weeks ago about the conversation that he had with Tom Brady on the field after the Chiefs game, where he goes up to Brady.
Okay, that's the big
one. He told me he basically was thanking Brady for coming to him late in that game.
Yeah.
And the follow-up is...
awkward, right?
Well, why do you have to thank Brady? I mean, you're Rob Gronkowski. You're a Hall of Fame-level tight end. You're one of his favorite targets. And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and didn't really want to get into it, but I think it's a little bit of a window into... He's not... Clearly, he's not as confident as he has been in the past. And so I wonder how they make sure he gets there. So because after that game, too, you remember, Brady went out of his way to say, yeah, that guy's
forever,
great.
Man.
Well, that was to Gronk.
Yeah.
And then publicly, he says something to the effect of, yeah, I'm going to keep going to that guy when it matters most. And then he said something similar to Jim Gray after the fact. So it's like,
so there's this pump him up?
Trying to pump him up,
build
clearly,
confidence.
In my opinion.
So that tells you that it is a mental thing with Rob.
So that tells me the quarterback senses a sense of mental weakness there. Where
Well, it could be related to what's going on with him physically, though,
right.
No,
I think it's a combination
together,
of everything.
Sure.
And Rob is a brilliant, smart football player. So if he's thanking him for coming into that situation, that means Rob understands what the call in the huddle was. And maybe where the quarterback should have gone with the football based on what he was saying. And maybe the quarterback went out of his way to go to maybe Rob, who's probably the second read there, instead of being the primary one. That could mean that, too.
That could be it, too. Although that was a game where he was single covered at the end.
I just wonder if, you know, he's running a go route. Normally go routes or sometimes just generic clear out routes. You know, you see Dorsett do it. You know, you'll see Josh Gordon do it.
Definitely.
This past week. And you don't necessarily have to get the ball. You're not part of the read. Maybe Rob really wasn't part of the read. He was on a clear on Brady. Said, screw it. I got one-on-one. He's running the go. I'm throwing it to him.
I just think it's this guy who has been an alpha for how long is now maybe kind of sensing his mortality a little bit. And I think this goes back to last year, too. Even before last year started, when he was sort of getting beat up at training camp and he was starting to train the way.
He didn't heat up till Pittsburgh.
Starting to change the way he was training.
Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl is when he really heated
up. And then he really looked great. He looked as good as he's ever looked in some ways. And so now I think, due in part to some of these injuries, we're starting to see a lesser version than that, and he's a little bit bothered. So what do you do moving forward? Do you feel like this is a good matchup for him against the Packers, where he's going to have all kinds of opportunities to start to kind of build back up towards what you want him to be? Maybe. It's not a great defense. It's a little bit of a complicated defense because of the scheme and who the coordinator is, but this could be an opportunity for him to go off a little bit.
617-779-0985. Do you know where... Haha, Clinton Dix ranks.
Haha.
I know he's traded by the Packers this week. Do you know where he ranks among safeties?
Based on what?
I think PFF rankings.
Okay. He's probably in the 40 to 50 range.
Right now, PFF, David, one of our listeners, emailed me after we were talking about him earlier. They've got him number 3 currently right now for the season.
Wow.
Yeah. Because
interesting.
I look at that move like the Packers did by trading him away. Like, that's a Patriot-like move. Jamie Collins, you're being a jackass. You're out of here. You know, you're not doing what you're told. You're gone. With Clinton Dix, it goes beyond that. There's like things he said, and he's been a locker room issue and all that stuff. That's why they traded him. But he's ranked high. That's not going to make them better. I didn't think he would be ranked that high. I know that I've read stories, and maybe it's a little bit biased about him not being in position to make tackles.
That's what we must have been reading the same thing.
Yeah, I've read all this coverage out of Green Bay where they've been very critical of him. They think he's been out of position. He hasn't fully, you know, done everything he's supposed to be doing.
Red zone defense hasn't been good.
Red zone, I mean, wow. I mean, then you see that. Thanks for the tip there, David.
That's interesting. I mean, I know they feel good about some of the younger players they have in the secondary, too. This kid, Jaire Alexander, the corner out of Louisville, rookie, is really good. And really aggressive, and I think in some ways, if he continues to play the way he's played, almost gives them a little bit of an identity defensively outside of Clay Matthews speed rushing around the end with the hair flowing and the breeze behind him.
Grab a call here before we get to headlines. Jim is in South Boston. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Jim?
I want to say that Aaron Rodgers is 20 times better than Tom Brady.
Why is that?
I mean, I have a whole list. I can just name it off.
Go for it.
Go down. So, I mean, the best completion percentage in NFL history, highest career QBR all time. Aaron Rodgers, more rushing yards. He's been playing less since the start of 2015. Or Rodgers had fourth quarter passing touchdowns. Brady's in top of 3 in that stat. You know, Packers average 29.4 points in a playoff game with Rodgers. Packers average 32 points in a playoff win with Rodgers. They allow an average of 36.3 points in a playoff loss since Aaron Rodgers came. I can just keep going on and on. I have a whole list named right here. I don't know how this can even be a debate.
Well there's the matter of
you're being silly.
The playoff performances, and not that Rodgers has been bad, but you can't just discount what Brady has done. You know, two biggest moments of his career. Bringing them back against the Seahawks, bringing them back against the Falcons. Two good defenses. He puts the team on his back and he wins Super Bowls. So, I mean, I don't know how you just remove that from the equation. Those are all totally valid stats. And there is certainly the argument to be made that Aaron Rodgers is the more talented quarterback. Who is the better quarterback? I know that's very generic. Who is the best quarterback of all time? It's, you know, it's this nebulous term, better, best. Like, what does that even mean?
Right.
What, it depends on how you define it. But it's certainly a debate. I don't think 20 times better is really fair.
Jim. Feels strong, but I was interested in hearing some of those reasons, and we just got
statistically one of the best ever. And again, the story I wrote, no Brady brings that. It up. He's the highest rated quarterback of all time, and he kind of shrugged his shoulders. I know what that means. It's yards per attempt, interceptions per attempt, touchdowns per attempt. Meaning that only goes so far. But when you look at that, and he's so much better than everybody else in that stat, that's pretty impressive to Brady.
I want to give you a statistic about Aaron Rodgers that I think looks bad for him and looks bad for the Green Bay Packers. Okay, I will respond.
Rebuttal.
I will respond with one statistic, just one. And it's a very generic, broad, simple statistic that everybody can understand.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotions.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Belichick's real success as a coach and GM comes from the fact that he takes an unsentimental, sober view and evaluates the players. You mean to tell me he wanted Jimmy Garoppolo instead of Tom Brady, but he wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers instead of Tom Brady going into every season? It's not that Belichick would trade his past with Tom Brady for a past with someone else. They've won 5 Super Bowls together, and they're in the Super Bowl every other year, and they win more than half of those. So, of course, you wouldn't trade the past. But heading into any one of those seasons, if Aaron Rodgers were available to be his quarterback and he could presto change-o, change Tom Brady into Aaron Rodgers, he'd have done it because Aaron Rodgers allows him to do more things.
Max Kellerman saying today that he believes Bill Belichick, if he was allowed right now to swap Tom Brady for Aaron Rodgers, he would do it. This hour is Zolak and Bertrand, brought to you by Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your Sunday night football party a huge success. Get details at stopandshop.com. I got to correct something from the first hour of the show today. 2014, when the Patriots had the matchup out in Green Bay. That was the year that Green Bay ended up in the NFC title game against Seattle, and it went down to the wire. And the Patriots had the late game that day on Championship Sunday.
That's right. You had
the game was playing in the stadium. I completely forgot that. And I'm looking at the Pro Football Reference page, and I'm looking at the wrong year, saying they lost to the 49ers.
Right.
That was a different year. I screwed that up totally. So my apologies.
They lost to the 49ers. That was the Colin Kaepernick year. That's when they lost the 49ers. Colin Kaepernick thought beat him. Yeah.
Maybe in the year after, maybe in 2013.
Can't remember. He went off in that game with his legs.
But I totally screwed that up. I don't know how I forgot that. I remember sitting in the stadium watching the end of that. Remember the start of the game got delayed?
Yeah, I remember thinking,
it was a rainy day.
Play Seattle.
Yes.
Wow.
All of that stuff. The weather kind of sucked that day. Yeah, all that was going on. Anyway, back at it with Phil Perry. What?
Rainy. That was a big part. We talked about the weather that day for a long time.
Yeah.
2014 AFC Championship game. Yes.
Thanks, Phil.
Just saying. That's just... Everybody remembers that.
Rainy.
Yeah. Rainy. Mm.
Rainy.
What it does to footballs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does the wetness...
You have to deflate it?
I think that's what I think that's what people... Yeah, I think people would suggest that the moisture plus the cold...
Something happened that day with the ball shrink. Let me give you the statistic on Aaron Rodgers that I wanted to get to. Tom Brady in his career. We're going regular season here. Big sample... Right?
Mm-hmm.
Career-long sample size, regular season games, 111-19 at home. Brady's career record at home, 111-19. That's a winning percentage of .854. On the road, Tom Brady has a winning record, 91-40. That is a winning percentage of .695 on the road. This is going to hold up for most quarterbacks ever. Okay, they're better at home than they are on the road. That's just true in this sport. Home field advantage, very important. Aaron Rodgers in his career at home, 62-15, 805. Again, Brady's up over 800. Rodgers is up over 800. You know where the big gap is, though? Aaron Rodgers is 38-40 on the road in his career. He is sub 500 on the road, winning percentage 487.
Beetle,
that's
who cares?
A damaging number.
Who cares?
What do you mean, who cares?
We're talking about wins as a quarterback stat?
I don't think that's the stat
that should be.
I disagree. Phil, I think it's important. Obviously, winning is great.
No position,
performing well.
There's no position on the field that impacts wins and losses more than quarterback.
Wins.
Yeah, you can look at
Belichick's
that.
Inside.
You can look at that.
How often do you think the Patriots are breaking down winning percentages in the offices at Gillette Stadium?
They don't. Why would they do that?
Because Belichick talks about the importance of winning on the road.
I don't work for the Patriots, and I'm not at Gillette Stadium.
Winning matters, but if we're talking about how good a quarterback is, we're going to just look at his winning percentage?
They're not even 500. It's like he's a bunch of games under 500.
Below 500 on the road.
So Aaron Rodgers has performed poorly in those games.
You want to split all his other statistics?
No, I'm just saying. I don't think it's a great stat.
I don't think it's a great stat.
I think it's a fine beginning stat.
It's a top three stat.
And now we're gonna dig a little
football,
deeper.
Football, yes. Nothing more important than winning football games.
Ask Matthew Stafford.
Nothing more important than helping your team win football games. Can we also say, because if for that to be true and for that to mean something for an individual position like quarterback is great, but then in the same breath, do we also say that football is the ultimate team sport?
His quarterback rating is 10
points. Which one do we mean more?
It's 10 points lower on the road. 108.6 to 98.9.
I agree winning matters. It is, and I would agree with you that for quarterbacks, it does matter. But in this matchup where we're kind of parsing every little detail, both these guys' careers, I don't know if looking at Aaron Rodgers' win percentage and saying this is why he's not as
good
as
Tom Brady.
Who was
saying earlier, you know, he doesn't
really
throw a lot of picks.
Matters.
He doesn't throw a lot of picks.
Isn't that an indication of the coach and the team around him?
Picks? Interceptions are now the coach?
No.
Okay. The losing percentage, I'm still talking winning and a row percentage. And to your point, Phil, before you got here, I think, when we brought this up on the air, Zoe said that's coaching.
The road record has some value.
The road record is
you want touchdowns to picks.
No, I'll say this.
McCarthy doesn't get his team ready for road games. The losing record
is more about coaching than it is probably.
This is why
Beatles about
picking
Aaron
the Patriots.
He's got an equal amount of home and road games in his career. 78 at home, 78 on the road. At home, 176 touchdowns and 33 picks. On the road, 150 and 46.
Okay, where's Brady? What are Brady's
I'll
numbers?
Get them for you.
Okay, I'm just saying. Like I don't
completely discount wins and losses. The Packers and Aaron Rodgers'
I've already said Brady's the best quarterback. I feel like I'm being attacked now.
We can throw you out of here so fast. I feel like I'm being attacked. Mediocre road team is what they've been with him as their quarterback.
You're being attacked because you're on a talk show and you said, who cares?
Who cares? Who cares? Wins and losses.
Who cares about wins? Wins.
Wins and losses. Come on, Zoe.
That guy.
It's job security, bro. Wins are job security.
Can you win on the road? Can you win on the road?
There are. I could probably point to five stats that are better indicator how good a quarterback is. That's all I'm saying. It's not wins and losses can be determined by a variety of different factors. What's your favorite statistic with quarterbacks? Ooh, I like that question.
What's your favorite
That's a good
one,
question.
Mr. Statistic?
Yards per completion?
I would say yards per attempt is probably the best indicator of how good a quarterback is.
Okay, we'll get both the yards per attempt for Brady and Rodgers home and road, and we'll have that for you. How does that
Nice! Happen? Yeah! More numbers! Let's do it!
We'll have that for
nerds,
you.
If that's what you're looking for,
we will have that for you.
Looking for all of it.
I'll customize the stats for whatever you need, Phil. That team has not been road tough with him as their quarterback. It just hasn't.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It is consistently the most disturbing thing that happens on this show every week.
Do it again.
Don't do that. Slap the bass, man. Slap in the bass. It is so detestable to be a man. Watch that. Can't do it.
Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line.
No man should ever move that way.
617-931-0985.
It's called talent.
It's called floating.
We'll score a pair of front row seat tickets for the 24th annual Comics Come Home. It's tomorrow night at the Garden featuring Lenny Clark, Brian Regan, and more.
Lenny!
Select tickets are still available at Ticketmaster.com or the Garden box office. Proceeds to benefit the Cam Neely Foundation for Cancer Care. If you are caller 10 right now, you're getting a front row seat. Pair of front row tickets. How about that for a prize, huh?
Lenny will get your ass.
That's a good one.
Look at you.
That's
down there
a good one right
row.
There.
What are you doing with her?
All right, so here you
it's
go.
Pretty good.
Here are your splits, stat guy. Yards per attempt. That's Phil Perry's favorite statistic on quarterbacks. Brady at home is 7.86. On the road, he's 7.72. Not much of a difference.
Pretty
there.
Even splits.
Right? Pretty mm-hmm. even. Mm-hmm. Rodgers, home, 8.87.
It's really good. 9 almost?
Road, 8.04.
That's really good.
So there's more of a gap there. His numbers are higher, but there's a larger disparity between home and
yeah,
road.
But he's over 8, Beetle.
Not the same guy on the road.
Really? Okay, I'll give you. Well, but what did you say last block? What did you say last block? You said every quarterback across the league is not the same on the road, generally, right?
That's true.
So there you go. Aaron Rodgers is still Hall of Fame quarterback, home and road.
He's just
8 yards per attempt.
He's much worse.
He might be the only guy in the history of the league who's over 8 yards per attempt on the road.
I'll tell you what, you do that.
I'll look that
on
up.
Your own time.
I'll look that
Brett
up.
In Framingham on this topic. Hi, Brett.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's up, Brett?
Yeah, you're right. Wins are incredibly important, but there's one important statistic that you leave out. Tom Brady does not play defense, and he doesn't play special teams. And
he's
getting back
guy.
To the 2014 game that you mentioned, the Green Bay Packers, where they lost against Seattle, there was a great guy by the name of Bostic. And Bostic tried to catch the ball with his head. He tried to do a helmet catch, and I've never seen anybody catch the ball with their helmet unless maybe it was Lester Hayes. So, yeah, defense and special teams, very important.
Yeah, but more important than both of those, your starting quarterback. Because in this league now, you have a good starting quarterback. You have an upper echelon guy. It's worth 10 wins. You have one of the greats, automatic 10 wins to start the year. Look at Aaron Rodgers' career. The only year that he didn't have 10 wins when he was starting a whole year was the first year he started, 2008.
Right.
Every other year, automatic. You get 10 wins or more if you have one of these guys. That's the way of the NFL now. You just do. You get Brady, 10 wins a year. As long as your coach isn't total crap, and trust me, Mike McCarthy, I don't think much of him, but he's not total crap. You get automatic 10 wins, and that's because of your quarterback and not your defense or your special teams. There's no teams out there that, because they have great defense and special teams, they're winning 12 games a year.
See, the problem with McCarthy doesn't make up for their inadequacies. He leaves the holes exposed. He can't cover it up. That's the problem, whether it's red zone defense for them. I think at times their offense, they have no red zone offense. And that's when Aaron will break the pocket. You go back to that 14 game. Remember how they kept him in the pocket?
There 13
was one time
seconds.
They rushed three, and he just sat there, and he kept resetting, pumping his feet. And frustrate him a little bit.
They're looking at that play, too. Even though that was an incomplete pass.
That's what we're doing. Watch this.
13 seconds.
He's not leaving a pocket. We're not breaking containment here.
Which is, like, good and bad, right? You never want to have a 13-second play if you're a defense. But the result was an incomplete pass because you dropped guys into coverage and you didn't let Rodgers get outside.
Right.
So you got to toe that line with
him. You think they play it the same way this time around?
Similar.
I think, honestly, they'll still try to kind of crush. You know, where everybody's just bull rushing the guy in front of them and try to shrink that pocket around him because he's still mobile enough. The knee is bothering him. He's older. He's not running as often. He's not looking to run as often. He had 75, I think it was, rushing attempts back in 2016. He's now on pace for like 35.
See, these guys are
so
quick.
He's a different guy in that regard.
They're quick on the outside, but they don't have the Jordy Nelson great route runner. And as good as Revis was that year, he turned Revis around a couple times.
He did.
He got
him once.
On him. I think what Bill's looking at is, okay, we're a little similar to what we were in 14 because we have Gilmore. We have a guy that we can match up on what we think is their number one. And then I think where the problem could arise was with, can Jimmy Graham be productive on Sunday night? Like, that's the guy Rodgers went to late in that game against San Francisco when San Francisco was gouging him.
Yep, and so when you talk about red zone offense, that guy's an obvious threat. I think, you know, even though Devontae Adams may not be the route runner Jordy Nelson was, he's really good off the line. I talked to Gilmore about him. Did you guys have Gilmore on this week?
We did.
Okay. I don't know if he talked much about Adams, but the one thing he kept coming back to was his quote-unquote release game. And Adams is an interesting guy in that when he gets off the line of scrimmage, you'll see him kind of jump. And he does this, like, hesitation thing. He was a basketball player for the majority of his high school days. And so he kind of does like what a basketball player will do before a crossover or something. And he'll jump and then he'll get into his route. And Gilmore said it's tough to kind of hang with because you're not really sure. Is he going inside? Is he going outside? Where does he want your leverage to be? And then Rodgers can kind of put it wherever he wants. Adams is at 140, 132, and 133 yards his last three games. He's gonna get his.
Write that down for our over-unders this week.
There you go. Write that down. Need that.
I mean, Gilmore, on the other end of it, has been one of the hottest corners in the league. Since week three, if you go back to week three, and if you discount, it's a big if, but if you discount the 33-yard touchdown that he was in coverage for, where Daron Harmon admitted after he should have been there, if you discount that, the rating Gilmore has given up since that game has been 55, which puts him right at the top, near the top of the league, third or fourth in that time span. So those are two of the hottest players at their respective positions that are going to be going at it. I think that's going to be one of the more interesting matchups to watch.
All right, 30 seconds left, Phil. Anything else that you wanted to say here today that you didn't?
Football Fix. Let's watch Football Fix tonight.
That's a plug. 6 o'clock. That's not a thought.
It's a tremendous show. Have you seen the numbers for Football Fix, by the way?
I hear they're high.
The numbers are good.
Are strong, people high in the show?
The numbers are good.
You know, since we adapted Hardy's ideas of making it sort of the
brought in the
shop,
tools,
the work belts. Shop. Yeah, it's really done well.
I'm slapping the handsaw. That kind of thing, you know?
Slap you.
Right.
A musical number where you incorporate the tools and the items in the fix-it shop.
Yes. Yep. Slappy.
That's right. Be sure to watch that. Nice. Me, Beetle, Trotta, 6 o'clock.
She back tonight?
She's back.
Okay.
She's back.
Right. Good to know.
So the gang's all there. And Baby Claire, of course. Baby Claire, if you've been spending money on Baby Claire's picks, we pick against the baby every week.
Who's the baby? Whose baby is it?
It's one of our producers' babies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so she's
great.
It's an in-house baby. We're not bringing in outside babies.
Some baby was left on the curb.
But still an impartial human baby.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
That makes
what is RJ saying about the babies flipping quarters? Drunk baby flipping quarters could get 50% of the picks right?
Won't you come home, Bill Baby?
She's better than 50%.
She is unreal. She is 6-1-1, I believe, this year.
How come Phil's not going to be here for RJ this week?
Do you bring the baby in with baby got back?
In time.
Why don't you guys bring the baby in with baby?
Unless
got
he
back?
Really wants to stick around for it.
I don't know if that's what Sir Mix-a-Lot meant.
I think he's got to go back to Foxborough.
Yeah, I got to hustle down to Foxborough. Brady's at 145.
But baby, if the baby's helping you make fat back, making the money, that's baby got back. So it works.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I guess
right,
it's
Phil.
Music. You
all
can interpret it however you want. Okay, bye guys.
Fix right here on this station, NBC Sports Boston. Appreciate you.